Today's Mishnah in Masechet Mikvaot, brought to you from Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, is Perek Vav Mishnah Chet. So we've been talking about Hashaka. Now we're going to introduce a new concept today, which we talked about earlier in our list of concepts in the introduction to Mikvaot, which is called Zeria by the Gemara Pesachim. So first of all, let's talk about the Hashaka from a distance. What we've been speaking about so far is the idea of Hashaka of two mikvaot, one next to the other, and we were talking about the type of Hashaka that can occur through a Shvoferet Hanod, which mixes the water between the two mikvaot, and that would be considered to be the Hashaka of one mikvah to the other, and we found that that would do a number of things. First of all, it would allow you to connect a kosher mikveh, and if you have an area that doesn't have a kosher mikveh, you could actually make it an extension of that mikveh by having a shvoferet hanod and connecting the water through hashaka. It does more than that, however. It also combines the mikvahot by having 20, let's say, in one mikveh and 20 in the other mikveh, and you can be mashik through a shvoferet hanod. Or we had the case earlier where we had the mikvahot one next to another, the case of the three mikvahot, and people go into the mikveh at the same time. The water mixes by going over the top of the mikveh in a little depressed area. That would also be considered to be a hashaka. But how about long distance? You got a mikveh on the top of a hill, and you got a mikveh all the way in the valley. Is there a way to connect two mikvahot? Or suppose you have a mikveh on one side of a field, and you got another mikveh a mile away in another field. Is there a way to connect those mikvahot without being able to make a hole between them of a shvoferet hanod? The Ta'arin, says the mikveh, there is, in fact, what you can do. Whether you're talking about a gravitational movement mikveh, because one is higher, one is lower, or whether you're talking about something that is directly horizontal on the same level. You can be metayer a mikveh ha'elyon min ha'tachton, ha'rachok min ha'karov. So let's imagine two mikvahot elyon min ha'tachton. You've got a mikveh on the top of the hill, but it's only mayim she'uvim. You've got a kosher mikveh on the bottom of the hill. It's a kosher mikveh. How can you connect the mikveh on top to the mikveh on the bottom? Remember that if the water is moving, then it's not going to be useful for the tefillah. On the contrary, it's just going to mess up the mikveh. You can't have moving water. And how, if they're far away from each other, what would actually be a way that you could connect the two? So, Ketzad, how would you manage this? The way that you manage it is through pipes. Now, if you fill the water in the pipe up first, and then it's not flowing, so that at the time that it connects for that first moment where you open the pipe, and now the pipe is full of water, it's not going to start flowing out of that mikveh here. At that moment, you can do hashaka. So what do? You bring a pipe. Whatever it's made of, it could be made out of cheres, it could be made out of avar, it could be made out of glass, whatever the heck you want to make it out of. We're talking about these things, says the Tesis Yontif, just because these materials are very easy to shape. You know, so if you're talking about bringing it from over, you know, a mountain or whatever, you might have to do a lot of shaping. So we talk about plastic materials, you know, so clay is plastic, lead is soft, easy to heat and to just bend it. So you use those things. But what you do is you put your hand on the end of the pipe, and you first let the pipe get full of water so that no longer is there going to be flowing out of that mikveh. And now you keep your hand on it until your moshcho, you draw it by bending it into the other mikveh, take away your hand, and at that moment, you may shake it. And that way, it actually touches the water that's coming from the mikveh on top, actually touches the water from the bottom. So it would be underneath the water level. And this way, it actually does a real hashaka. So moshcho umashiko. And then everything is fine. You take off your hand, and that would be enough. Afilu kisa'ara dayo. So over here, as long as you have, even if you have a little bit of the connection, that would be as broad as a shvoferet hanov. The problem over here is that all we want to do is connect the mikveh kosher on the bottom to the mayim she'uvim that's on top, as if we actually would have something that's not a mikveh at all. So then, inachinami, we need the entire thing to do a tefillah. But over here, what we're trying to do is only being matir mayim that is itself she'uvim, and to be mechabret. So that we do, according to most of the Rishonim, even if the water is not an entire shoferet hanov around, as we'll see in a moment, there's a din of mikvahs that the water on top is going over the edge of the mikvah. You do need the width of the shoferet hanov, but you only need a klipat hashum. You need the tiniest amount of water that's doing the overflow. So the same thing is true over here. We're comparing this to an overflow, and therefore it's only the tiniest amount that we need that is the thickness, the width of the shoferet hanot. Now, how about if there isn't any water in the mikveh?
So Rabbi, what did Sarah mean then? Sarah, the width of a shoferet hanot?
No, the width, yes. The width of a shoferet hanot, right, but it's as long as it's a, as we'll see, the tiniest amount, which we call even klipat hashum, it would be kosher. Because we don't need for an actual shvoferet hanod when we're mixing the top of the mikvah. So that's how we're looking
at it. In terms of the amount of water.
And yes.
I have the space, but not the amount of water.
Yeah. Hayah be'elyon. Now, how about if there isn't any mikvah in the bottom? There's no water. You have a kosher mikvah in the top of the mountain. And hayah be'elyon arba'im sa'ah. U'betachton ein klum. You don't have any water. So is there a way to make the mikvah on the bottom? Yes, there is. And this is actually considered to be zri'ah. So how do we do zri'ah? We plant more water into the water that's up there. And that, since the Gemara in Pesachim calls this zri'ah, was nogea very much the whole sugya over there, that it's the same thing as putting a seed into the ground that was tummy, and then that seed connects to the ground, and it loses its tumah. So we have water that is tummy, or water that was shu'uvim, and you plant it into the mikveh by putting it directly into the mikveh, so then it is mayim that is kosher. Now, when you keep pouring it, any water that overflows from that mikveh and comes downhill is actually water that is kosher, despite the fact that it started off with only arba'im sa'ah and it didn't overflow. As you keep pouring new water into it and plant new water into the mikveh that comes down is actually going to have arba'im sa'ah. And therefore, no matter how much you add to the upper arba'im sa'ah, once you get arba'im sa'ah at the bottom, you created a new mikveh of mei mikveh kisherin. Now, this is a very important halacha that is different from the standard din of hamshacha. So we actually sometimes will create a mikveh by causing an overflow from a mikveh through doing zriya, rather than direct adding water from a pipe through a little bit of hamshacha. So we've had, remember, hashaka, hamshacha, and zri'ah. We utilize, practically speaking, all of these things. It's sort of crazily, because it doesn't really make much sense, but as part of the nohug, halacha lemaisa, when it comes to making mikvahs, the addition of water into a mikvah is done all three ways to make certain, just, I don't know, it's just like super, super kosher water for the mikveh. So it's not only mashuch, as the mayim pours in from a source that would be sha'uv. So we said, as long as it runs along the ground, it's considered to be mayim, that when it comes into the mikveh, it's not mayim shuvim into the mikveh. But instead of just doing that, we actually do that water, then we're zorea into the real mei mikveh, which is the original bor of megishamim, which then becomes kosher, and not only overflows into our mikveh, but then we do the removal of the shvoferet hanod hole, which I'm sure you've all seen in the mikveh. You've got that big rubber piece, right, that you stick into the side of the mikveh, which is where we do the actual hashaka. So we do the hashaka, and we do the zriya, and we do meshicha, all of which to make sure that it's a super kosher mikveh. All right, in any event, so this leads us now to the next case, where we have another case where you do not need the actual shear of a shvoferet hanod. And this is Perek Vav, Mishnah Tet. And what would that case be? A kotel sheben shtei mikvaot shenistak lashti mitzarev. So let's say you have a vertical, usually the sheti on a loom is the vertical component, and then we put the arev through it. So we're calling shati the vertical break. So we've got a crack all the way through the wall that's between these two mikvaot. And it doesn't have a shvoferet hanod, but it has a crack. Well, that crack is considered to be a destruction of the whole mechitza. And because of that, there's no real mechitza between them, because there's no way of holding the water back if the wall is cracked. But if it's cracked only la'arev, again, we're using this as a weave, but of course, what we're actually mean is that if it's a horizontal crack, so then eino mitztaref, horizontal crack, doesn't mevatel mechitza, because up until the crack, it's certainly not going to allow the water to mix. So then you would need to have the size of a shvoferet hanod along the crack somewhere, and then you would be able to combine the pochas mi esrim sa, pochas mi arboim sa, with the other pochas mi arboim sa, to create one arboim sa, or to do a hashaka. That is the difference between them. So if it's even without any place where it has a mokum of the shvoferet hanod, if it's a vertical break, then it would be kosher. Rabbi Yehuda says just the opposite. If there is a horizontal break, so then we consider the entire top of the mikveh to be not a mechitza. Why? Because it's called a mechitza tluya. It's a mechitza that's hanging in the air and allows things to pass beneath it. A mechitza tluya does not have a shem mechitza. So because of that, essentially, the mikveh is mixing over the top of the mikveh. And as we're going to see, whenever a mikveh has even a keklipas hashum that's above the mikveh, that does not require a shvoferet hanod. So the klipat hashum would be makshir, so therefore that for sure would be kosher. Masha inkein, if the crack runs down vertically, so then each one of those mechitzas is still a mechitza, and because of that, you would need a shvoferet hanod between them. Nifritzu zeh betoch zeh. How about if there's a break at the top of the mechitza between the two mikvaot? How big is that break? So here is what we've been referring to all along. The break is a shvoferet hanod wide, but it's not a shvoferet hanod high. It's only the tiniest amount of water that you can see going over the top of the mechitza between one mikveh and the other mikveh. That is sufficient. If it would be alum keklipas hashum, it would be even just like a garlic peel, meaning you could just see the damp water going across it. As long as it's kirocha v'shvoferet hanod, it's as wide as the shvoferet hanod, that is enough. Because the only time that we need the shvoferet hanod, which has to be height and width, is where we're making a hole into the middle of a wall. But where they're actually connected and there's water traveling between them freely, then we don't have that shear of the complete Shvafarat Hanod, as we saw before, and it's sufficient. This is basically Halacha L'Meishe Mi-Sinai, that there's enough gemina between the top over the wall connection or over the pipe connection, as opposed to through a wall connection. A through a wall connection requires a Shvafarat Hanod completely, and you have to be able to twist your etzba'ot in it, and the water goes through that whole thing. Masha'in kein, if it's going over the mikveh, then it needs a shvaferet hanod, but it only requires a keklipas hashum and the tiniest bit of water that goes over the top.
And they'll be saying that applies to the sa'ara before, even though the Mishnah didn't say it was rochet v'shvaferet hanod.
Yes, that's the way most understand it. It's a very unclear use of the word, the sa'ara, because always we just refer to the, when we're talking about a real open flow, we refer to it as the flow of the water, which is keklipas hashum. But when we're talking about a pipe, you can't see the flowing of the water. That's not what we're talking about. So over there, we say it could be the tiniest amount, and it doesn't matter. As long as the pipe has that thickness, has that lumen in it. Okay, Rabosai, to be continued, Bezrat Hashem. The truth is, I feel very bad that I forgot yesterday to start. Actually, maybe I should. I left out a piece that I had in mind, which goes as follows. You remember that I had left the two Mishnayos from the day before. I had left you with the question of why in the first case, we were talking about as long as there's enough space on the top of the broken cheres that was in the mikveh, as long as there's enough space that was a mashahu, that you were able to take the kalim out of the broken piece of kli cheres, that then when they came out of the mikveh, there would be no problem of being becoming tamei from the klicheres. Masha'in came in the second case where we had your yadayim, you yourself had been in the klicheres. That was the case of the tanur, where the spring had opened up underwater in the tanur, and you actually were tovel in the tanur. So the Mishnah said, as long as you have the tiniest bit, even a mashal, that in that case, it's only if you have enough for your hands. It has to be as tall as your hands are. So then it would be considered to be tar when you come out. Why? Because you were tevel, you're yadayim. So how come in the first case, you didn't need a shear that was as big as the kli, and only a mashahu was sufficient? Remember that question I had left you with? My intent was to come back with it in the next day, and I totally forgot and just went ahead with the next Mishnah. So the answer to that conundrum is actually very clear. And that is that in the case of the first Mishnah, where you had kalim that you were tevel inside of a broken klicheres, which would still be metame from in it, because it holds water, over there, what made the kli tame was not the klicheres directly. Why? Because a klicheres cannot be metame kalim, remember? The only reason you became tame is because the water was mekabel tuma from the klicheres, and water can be chazer umetame kalim because of the gezer derabanan of mayim that are tmeim, you see? So in that case, when you lifted the kli out of the mikveh, and the water that was on top of the kli was not the water that had would become tame from the gistra, it was the small layer of water that was on top of that. So what's going to be metame the kli? You don't need for the kli to be tavul, because the kli never ended up being mekabel tuma from mayim that was still tame from the kli cheres. The moment it's out of the kli cheres, there's no water of the kli cheres on it. Therefore, over there, you only required the tiniest bit, a mashahu, to be able to take the kli out, mashain ken yir yadayim, which were mekabel tuma directly from a kli cheres. Over there, you need to be tevel them on the way out of the Kli Cheres. Lovely. Bezrat Hashem. Wonderful day to all. Looking forward to seeing you.